Ahead and get started. Happy Memorial Day tomorrow, and we're so thankful for our country and for those that paid the supreme sacrifice to let us have the freedom that we have. We just thank God for that, and like Brother Jim said there a minute ago, we need to pray for our country. Our country is in bad shape, needed prayer. And so just remember that when you pray and ask God to give us wisdom, give us understanding on the way that we're supposed to do, should do. And, you know, we have some say so in the way the country's going. So let's pray that God give us wisdom toward that. Okay? And so... If you have served in the military or you are presently serving in the military in any capacity, thank you for your service. We appreciate that and appreciate all that people have done down through time. So with that being said, we do have a visitor this morning, Harriet Miller, and she's from Knoxville, and she's with her mother here, aunt, okay, and so we're glad to have them both in here, and as far as I know, the rest of us are home people, and home, what'd you say, Leroy? No, I didn't say homely people. You put the twist on that, didn't you? Okay, well, anyway, I've talked to several people this morning, and most everyone is getting along fairly well. We've still got some upcoming surgeries and things that we're praying about. Carl is going to have his knee replacement here on June the 15th, so we're praying for that. And Mrs. Groom's sister is going to be having some eye surgery. And we're praying for her. I don't know that she's got that lined up yet, but hopefully everything will go well with that. Tonight, I don't know if y'all are in the practice of doing this, but we have a men's prayer meeting at 6:15 before the service at 6:30 over in the Berean classroom. And if you've never been there, you can come on in. You're welcome to. And it's just a time. There's usually a person leading the prayer, and the rest of us silently pray. And so we pray for the church, the pastor, the sermon, the everything. The people are here, so you're welcome to come. Sadly, this week, we know that Pastor Herbin, we've got condolences to his family at the passing of his father, Dave. And he passed on the 16th, and Pastor Herbman preached his funeral yesterday. So we have condolences for the Herbman family. And going over to the birthdays, we've got Judy Martin. Got a birthday tomorrow, and so we wish her happy birthday. And also, Pat Shaw is going to have a birthday tomorrow. And Joe was here, but I don't see him. He must have stepped out. But happy birthday to Pat. And then Teresa Payne's going to have one on the 31st. And so happy birthday on the 31st, Teresa. Okay. All right. Well, it is good to have you here today, and we thank God for the privilege. And, you know, it's good to feel free together and worship. And we thank God for our church. We thank God for our pastor, for the leaders. And so we just want to go to the Lord in prayer. And before we go, does anybody have an unspoken request? Okay, several unspokens. You got a spoken, Larry? You got a biopsy on the 3rd of June. Okay. Let's pray for Larry. Okay. 3rd of June. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you today, God, and we thank you, Lord, for our country. We thank you, Lord, for the United States of America, for the freedom that we have. And it's been, for some, at the ultimate cost, Lord. They gave their life for our country. And Lord, we want to honor them and give them the praise that they deserve today for what they did. And Lord, we just pray that you will continue to be with our country, Lord. And Lord, I pray that the leaders that are there in Washington, D.C. can really get together and get back on course, Lord, to where we need to be. Lord, only you can cause that to happen, Lord. I pray that you'll intervene in their hearts, and Lord, you'll give them the wisdom to understand on what they need to do to turn back to you, Lord. God, bring this country back to you. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for what you will do. And then, Lord, we come and we pray for these that are sick. Brother Larry's got to have this biopsy here on the 3rd of June. Lord, we pray for him. Pray that everything will be all right. Lord, we pray for Brother Carl as he has the knee replacement. And then, Father, we know that there's plenty on the sick list here. We pray for each and every one of them, Father, that you will touch them in their needs. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, pray that you will just bless the church service today. Bless Brother Herdman. I know that he's worn out. But God, I pray that you'll give him the message that you want us to hear. And then for the immediate time, we pray for Brother Philip. Lord, this time of year seems to have a lot of pressure on us. And God, we pray that you'll give him strength and help now as he comes to the class and brings a lesson to us this morning. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Danny. You can be turning to James chapter 4. I hope you noted what Danny said, that God bless Brother Phil as he brings the lesson. I hope you don't think I'm preaching at you. I'm not preaching at you. That's the pastor's job. Amen. Preaching is about motivating people to change, right? You say, brother, I don't believe that. Your delivery sounds like preaching to me. It's not. It's not. That's just the way I am. Amen. I just get excited. I do. And I get kind of wound up. Do you know what I mean by that? I just get kind of wound up, and it gets my motor going, and then things just start pouring out. But I'm not preaching at you. That's not my job. I am not trying to change your life. I am giving lessons about the Bible. Amen. Now, if it does change your life, wonderful. We'll just praise the Lord for that, because it's His Word doing His work in all of our lives. Amen. So anyway, we were visiting with some sweet folks yesterday, and she said, now, when you do your sermon, I thought, oh no. And my wife says that too. She says, well, Phil, it's kind of preaching teaching. But it only appears that way. It just appears that way. I did preach once here on a Wednesday night. The pastor asked me. I don't know if you were here. I did preach then. And I had a message on my heart. Anyway, James chapter 4, verse 7. What we will begin to discuss today is of such monumental importance that it simply cannot be overstated. If the Word of God is our food that sustains us in this life, if faith is the very air that we breathe, then what we will see here today is the only balm, the only medicine to heal every wound, to cure every sickness. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. In the first section, verses 1 through 6, God ends, it ends in verse 6 with the Holy Spirit resisting his people. God resisteth the proud. That word resistance means to take up arms against. God is at war with his people. By the time we get to verse 10, he says, and the Lord shall lift you up. What a blessing. What a change. Amen. What a change. We have in verses 1 through 6, the prodigal demanding his inheritance and going out to live in sin. We have in verse 1 through 6, David and his terrible sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. In verses 1 through 6, we have Peter's shameful denial while Satan has him to sift him as wheat, and he did. In verses 1 through 6, we have Jonah going down to Joppa, down into the ship, down into the depths of the sea, down into the whale's belly, down, 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 down. That is the progress if we get away from God. But in verses 7 through 10, we have the prodigal coming to himself and the long walk back to his father. In verses 7 through 10, we have David's repentance in Psalm 51, 1 through 13, the penitential psalm. In verses 7 through 10, here we have the Lord looking at Peter, and Peter going out to weep bitterly. Amen. And after that, he was ready to feed my sheep. In verses 7 through 10, we have Jonah in that belly of the whale crying out to God. What does God do? Vomits him out on the dry land. Amen. We're done. Amen. This is what I was waiting for. Repentance. If there is a comprehensive description of true repentance, we have it right here. Submit, resist, draw nigh. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, affliction, mourning, weeping, no laughter, no joy. This is how we humble ourselves before our God. This is very reminiscent of sackcloth and ashes in the Old Testament. In verses 1 through 6, they are overcome with sin. Is there any hope? Yes. Verses 7 through 10. Repentance. By the way, this is the way of escape that is spoken about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14. Would you turn there with me, if you would? It says, verse 13, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He was faithful to Peter, wasn't he? He was faithful to Jonah, wasn't he? Amen. He was faithful to David, wasn't he? But they sinned. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Folks, that way of escape is repentance. Now, I have heard, and maybe you have too, I'm an oddball. I have heard, and maybe you have too, pastors, preachers that will lift that text clear out of its context and say to you and me that what God is talking about, if you're just going through any difficulty and it gets to be too much for you, God will stop that problem and let you escape so you can bear it. But that's not the context of this passage. If you'll go back with me to verse 4, and we'll read down to that text. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were written for, Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Think about that for a minute. Doesn't even mention the calf. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Folks, that's a type of the devil. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmur. And were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all of these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Then he says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. All of these temptations are talking about what God, their trials that God brought on them because of their sin. And they're common to man. God judges them out there and he judges us here. God judges sin. But there's a way of escape. They just wouldn't take it. They would not repent. If they had repented of their sin, guess what? They would have gone into the land of promise when Moses brought them up the first time. But they would not repent of their sin. They would not take that way of escape. And so what happened? They fell in the wilderness. This cannot be talking about God just delivering us from our problems. If that is the case, then that would put the lie to the Lord's declaration to Paul in his affliction when he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. I will not remove that problem. My grace will take care of you in that problem." Amen? God does not deliver us from our difficulty. God can give us grace to endure anything. Is faith the victory that overcomes the world? John 5, 1 John 5, 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Romans 8:36-37, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, here it is, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Folks, is that the truth? Can we endure anything in this life by the grace of God? Well, those are the promises he gave us. We are more than conquerors through him. Even a casual reading of Hebrews 11, verse 35 through 38, and what those people suffered is enough to convince us that God will not deliver us from our problems. God will give us grace in our problems. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Who has grace for that? I mean, who can do that without the grace of God? Forgive me. They, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were, think of this now, sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Doesn't sound like God delivered them from their problems, does it? But every one of them endured by faith and by God's grace. What did we, by the way, God did not prepare an escape for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They heated that furnace up seven times. Perfect. Seven is the number of perfection. Seven times hotter. The perfect trial. Amen. And they were able to endure it. Why? Because there was that fourth person with them in the furnace. Now, folks, if God is with us in the furnace, we can endure anything. I don't care how hot the devil makes it. Amen? You and I don't get an escape from our problems. What God wants us to escape from is judgment for sin. If our problems are a result of sin, then God says, repent. This is not a promise to escape trouble. We are instructed in James 1. We started off this book with this thought. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Amen? Just count it joy. Look for an escape. Tell God, I just can't deal with this anymore. No, count it joy. And then what does he tell us to do? Be patient. Let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be what? You can finish it. Perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, do you think that God is going to stop that process because you're having it too tough? That doesn't even make sense. If God brought these problems on us, divers temptations, I mean, and we've got to be patient in all of them, do you think he's going to stop it until we get perfected? Well, that would be counterproductive, would it not? Let us be clear. Let me say this. The promise that you and I need to hold on to in times of trouble is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If you're having difficulty in your problem, get on your knees and say, dear God, you promised me that I could do this with your help. Let us be clear about this. If he is not strengthening us in all things that we must endure, then there is a problem with our relationship with him. Are we clear about that? You say, I just can't. This just isn't right. Oh, I hate this. Oh, this is just. You are declaring to the world and hopefully yourself that you don't have grace. You are fighting it. You are not doing what it says here in verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Maybe Satan has desired to have us, and maybe we are being held captive by him at his will. God does not give us escape from just troubles that he has designed for our benefit. What he wants us to escape from is what we see in chapter 10. They murmured, adultery, all those sins, the destroyer, serpents. He brought all those temptations on them, and the only escape was repentance. Amen? When Jonah repented, he's on the dry land again, amen? He's ready to go preach repentance to the Ninevites. Peter, when the Lord looks at him and that conviction comes upon him and he goes out and weeps bitterly, guess what? Now he's ready to feed my sheep. David with Bathsheba. Oh, you just hate to see this good man, don't you? When you read that, it's like, David, don't do this. And there he looks on that woman and he falls into sin and he tries to pervert her husband's morals by getting him drunk. And then when that doesn't work, he murders the man and makes Joab and the army of God complicit in that murder. Nathan comes up to him and says, "Thou art the man." Then we have that wonderful Psalm 51 where he is just devastated. Amen. He says, "Lord, bind up the bones that thou hast broken." God just took his spiritual bones and just beat every one of them until he could not stand up. I don't care how strong we are. If our bones are broken, there's nothing that will hold us up. Amen. And God broke all of his bones, and David begged him, "Lord, bind up the bones that thou hast broken." Folks, that's repentance. When God forewarned his people that they will eventually be carried away in captivity, he says this in Deuteronomy 30, verse 1. "And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee." Captives, amen, driven away. They're in bondage. "And shalt return unto the Lord, and shall obey his voice according to all that I commanded this day, thou and thy children, with thine heart and with all thy soul. I believe that submit yourselves, therefore, to God." Amen. Verse 7 of our text. "Then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion on thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee." Folks, God can do that for us. Amen. God can destroy us for our sin. But if we will repent, just as sure those people are scattered all over the world and it looked like it was impossible for them to come back. They were held captive by Nebuchadnezzar and all of those kings, and they have been for 2,000 years. God is able to restore us after he does us evil. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Everybody in here knows it. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves," isn't that what we saw in our text? "And pray and seek my face, submit yourselves therefore to God, and turn from their wicked ways," repentance, "then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land." Isn't that wonderful? Folks, I'm here to tell you that this medicine of repentance can heal every sin sick sore in your spiritual body. And God can raise you up and cause you to serve him again. God, at every stage of Israel's existence, calls them to repentance. Ezekiel 33, verse 11, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" God would bring that upon them if they would not turn. That is the escape that we're talking about. Oh, I love this one. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. It's all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through. So many Psalms talk about this. "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." Catch this, 13. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? Oh, amen. Amen. But what must we do? We must rend the heart. That's what it's talking about here in these things. Weep and mourn, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness, to rend our hearts. Now, let me say this. There is no, read our text again, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, folks, there is no resisting of the devil if we're not submitted to God. That's impossible. If you think, oh, I'm going through all these things, all I got to do is use my willpower and I'll get the victory. I just need to stop this. And then you fall back into it again. Why don't you have grace to get total victory? Because it's not your willpower giving you victory. It's you submitting to God and him giving you grace. Amen. And until then, the devil can never be resisted. Think of it. We read this last week, 2 Timothy 2:25 through 26. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Boy, if that isn't living in sin, amen, opposing yourself. If God, peradventure, we just read that in Joel. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. I can't get away. I cannot get away. My foot is caught in a bear trap. The devil's got that person. Who are taken captive by him at his will. What does the Bible say that the devil is? He is king over all the children of pride. Folks, there is no getting away from that king until we do what it says here in this text. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen. There is no resisting this king. He has taken these people captive. There is no escaping that captivity without repentance and confession. By the way, notice what it says there in that verse again. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. You're right, if we get mad at them, they're just going to buck up, amen? We don't want to get mad at them, we want to help them. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure, it's all up to him, amen? And you say, well, I've been praying for my son. I've been praying for whoever it is. Folks, do not think that God isn't giving repentance. They still have to repent, amen? It's still a choice that they must make. God does work in their heart at your prayer. But notice this. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. What is the truth that they must acknowledge? I have sinned. I am wrong. He's not wrong. You're not wrong. You didn't do wrong. I have sinned. That's the truth. Amen. This is why the world out there does not get saved. They do not want to repent and admit that they are sinners. And this is what keeps the hard-hearted backslider in his sin. You can talk to him ever so gently. He'll buck up. Why? Because he has got to admit the truth that he is wrong and he should repent and turn from it. Amen? This is what David said in that wonderful Psalm 51. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. That sounds like what we see here. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge, there we have it, my transgression. Folks, it's confession of sin. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. People that are in sin and obstinate in sin has something against God. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, here it is, what we just read in 2 Timothy, that God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Yes, the truth is, I'm wrong. That's what David's saying. He sinned with Bathsheba. He killed Uriah. And for a while he lived in that sin until that wonderful prophet said, thou art the man. Oh boy, the conviction he had to admit, amen. No hiding sin, no more killing people to get away with it. The truth is, I am wrong and God is right. God wants truth in the inward man. If you know someone who is saved, I mean, you believe it, you've seen evidence of it, and is away from God, your prayer for them should be 2 Timothy 2:25. God, please give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, folks, we are admonished to pray according to the will of God, correct? And if we pray according to the will of God, we know that he heareth us and that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Is it the will of God that people repent? Folks, I can pray confidently on that one. Amen. I've got a verse that I can go to, and by the way, I do for some people in here whose children are away from God. I come to that verse and I say, dear God in heaven, please trouble their heart until they repent and acknowledge the truth. And guess what? You say, have they yet? They've got to make that decision. My prayer is that God will lead them to repentance. Amen? What have you heard? Think of anybody you want who got away from God and came back and they gave a testimony. What did they say? Almost everyone I've ever heard, everyone said, I was miserable. I knew I was wrong. I was in so much conviction, but they kept on and on and on. Guess what? Somebody was praying for them and God was leading them to repentance until they did what? Acknowledge the truth. And guess what? At that point, we see them back in church. Amen. They're witnessing in. They're like David in Psalm 51. He said, hold on. Make me to hear joy and gladness. That's what we hear from them. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. They're living for God again. His free spirit is now helping them. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. They're serving again. Amen. They're giving testimony. It's a wonderful thing. Don't quit praying. God will work in his people's heart. If they're his people, he'll work in their heart. Folks, if he doesn't, then they're not his people. every child I receive, I chasten, that they might receive the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You say, but they haven't yet. Guess what? Let us not fail to pray that they will repent. Do you know what I pray? I don't know if it's biblical. God sent an angel to the pool of Siloam, and he stirred the waters of the pool of Siloam, and whoever dipped their foot in that troubled pool was made completely whole. Folks, my prayer is that God will send his spirit to trouble the pool of their heart, and that they will put their foot in there. I guarantee you, if they will respond to that troubled water, God will heal their soul, and we'll see them right back in here or somewhere. They might not be here, but they'll be somewhere. Guess what? Guess why? Because, brother, everybody that's right wants to be here or somewhere like this, right? They get hungry for the Word of God. They want to hear the preaching. They want to be around God's people. They want to be encouraged. What is that evidence of? That the Spirit of God is blessing again. Why? 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 Because of verse 7 through 10. God lifted them up. What a wonderful thing. We sing a song based on Jeremiah 8, verse 22. Is there a balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The song goes, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin sick. We sing that, to heal the sin sick soul. Folks, that physician applies this medicine, right? Repentance, repentance, turn, turn. And I will heal thy land. I will cure thee of thy diseases. If you rub this medicine into your soul, health will come. Amen. This is absolutely, you remember King Hezekiah, and he had that boil that was killing him, that oozing pus. And God said, I'll have mercy on him. Send Elisha and put a lump of figs on that boil. A lump of figs? Folks, that lump of figs is a type of repentance that heals every soul, every sore that you and I have, and gives us life. If we'll just rub it in on the spot, God will give us grace. I got to stop. When this process is finished, the prodigal gets the ring, the coat, and the fatted calf. When this process is finished, David is a blessing again and leading people to the Lord. When Peter passes through this, takes this medicine, he's now ready to feed my sheep. And when Jonah takes this medicine, he up and heads to Nineveh to preach repentance to a lost and dying world. Folks, this is the medicine. Amen. Now, we'll talk more about it because there's some other things to see in this. I'm not done yet, but I'm not preaching. I'm just going to teach you things. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you that there is a balm in Gilead that the great physician wants to rub into every one of our sin-sick souls to give us health. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Sorry to take so long.